Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. We are at Miller Time Pub here inside the historic Cornhusker Hotel. And I tell you what, there is food and drink specials to high-five your friends, your Husker buddies, your wife and kids. Get down here. We are here till 6. It is the highlight hour. We'll tell you about that from 4 to 7 as we are down here every home football Friday with Hail Varsity. Jay, good to see you again, man. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It is finally upon us, 24 hours away, and it's time to put the old eye black on and get ready for 2017. We'll get season predictions in. Promise you that. We will talk a little bit about how big a year this is for Mike Riley. Brandon Vogel's here. An author, for God's sake. We have a special prize down here. Not only are there great goodies, a red fedora that the Bob Father would have worn, Nebraska shirts, some Hail Varsity calendars. We also have a signed football by Jay Moore and Brandon Vogel. On Twitter, you can take a look at what you can win. How do you win it? We'll figure it out. There's some beads here. You don't have to get too freaky with.
Bead, you got to try to drink it without spilling, you know, like the boot challenge.
The boot challenge.
Boot, like beer fest.
Yes,
know?
Absolutely. I'll tell you this. The boots they have here, they're large, they're in charge, and they're very thirstful and very tasty. So we're down here at Miller Time Pub, home football Fridays, Hail Varsity on the road with ESPN. Okay, the high life hour. Let me shut up about me and tell you about why to come on down. We have $2 off appetizers, the famous fried cheese curds, chicken wings, 6-count, ultimate nachos, and, of course, Miller Time fries, pub pretzels, blackened chicken quesadilla, and the high life hour, 4 to 7. We are here 4 to 6 here with Hail Varsity. $2 off any draft beer. Miller Lite, Miller High Life, MGD. I haven't had an MGD forever. Oh, it's money. Stella, Blue Moon, Guinness, Boulevard. I mean, they come look at their beer list. We'll tweet out the beer list.
I'm looking at them right now. They're phenomenal. I mean, we have Peroni.
Oh, it's good.
Draft.
Peroni's fantastic. Game day menus, chicken wings, cheese curds, nachos, classic burger, the black bean burger, and the specialty items. How about the turkey BLT, the chicken wrap? I'm making you hungry because get on down here to Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker Hotel here with Hail Varsity. Cobb salad. I'm trying to watch my figure. And the grilled chicken Caesars for game day weekend. Say you're coming in for a wedding. Say you're coming in to hang out and get kind of cranked up for Nebraska, Arkansas State. They have street tacos this weekend. Beach. So we'll stay there. We are going to dive in full bore here on Arkansas State, Nebraska. Coming up, Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and magazine. And that is exciting. He'll be on site with us. Brandon Vogel's here. Klausburn is here. That's a good thing. Hold on. That's false advertising. Klausburn will be on with us. He is not physically here. That's good. Just in spirit. But we'll do the Friday forecast coming up at 5:25. So, Jay, okay. There's a lot to dive into here. Let us start off with this. How big a year is year 3 for Mike Riley? And there's 1,000 different components you can discuss with that. I'm not dare diving into, well, he better win 100 games or get him a U-Haul. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you have the fan base, you have the excitement, you have a number of Nebraska fans that have a lot of hope. You've been recruiting your butt off for 2 years. You get the Buckeyes at home. You get Wisconsin at home. Arkansas State's a good squad. How big a year is year 3 from a perception standpoint?
I mean, you don't make changes you have made necessary, schematically, coaching change wise. He gets it. He understands it. He knows this is a very big year. Looking at the schedule next year, you think it's next year? This season schedule's tough. Next year, it's a whole new upper echelon of toughness. We've got to be trending upward. I know you can look at, you were trending upward last year, but you just finished flat on your feet. You have to be continually looking at, are we getting better? Are we improving? Are we in meaningful games? Are we winning meaningful games? I mean, obviously they're all meaningful, but are, the Ohio States, the Wisconsin, the big time opponents, are you getting blown out 6-10, wherever it was last year, or in the fourth quarter, are you still, able to have a chance to maybe one possession away from the one stop away from the field? That's my issue with progress this season. The wins and losses is one thing.
We'll get to the predictions shortly.
But there's a lot to be seen yet. But it's a huge year. It's a huge year. You have to. People aren't, expecting, championships. But you have to be competing. You have to be the last week of the season. You have to still be in the mix of it. You can't just be out. You can't fall flat on your face against Iowa. You can't fall flat on your face against in the bowl game. You have to be in the mix. You have to be always talking about. You can't just be in the back of the room. It's kind of just another face in the crowd. You need to be some sort of relevancy within the Big Ten national as well. And you should be kind of in this West and playing in Indianapolis later this year in December.
That is a kind of a baseline bare minimum, isn't it? It is be in contention for the West every year. Wisconsin's a solid squad. Wisconsin's a really good program. All that said, it's time to kind of take that next step, make a move with Wisconsin. Keep Northwestern at bay. Don't be in the neighborhood of Northwestern or Minnesota. You're Nebraska. I'm air quoting here as we're at Miller Time Pub. And you have a chance right now to do a lot of things. You paint the picture of progress. Okay, you've been close to Wisconsin the last few years. Wonderful. Get over the hump. You have a big dog in Ohio State coming to town. Show that it wasn't a fluke against Michigan State when you knocked them off a college football playoff team. Figure out why Iowa has owned you for 2 years. It's because they're tough. Get tough. And you can reshape the conversation that's going on right now about Nebraska. And you have some hope, but will it kind of dissipate? Will it go away, or will it kind of gather some momentum, get some steam when it comes to this program, this new coach, this shift, this year three? And those are important things for Nebraska to kind of make an exclamation point about in year three. And listen, you talk to coaches, the great ones make a jump in year two. In year three, they're playing for a championship. The great ones do that. For everybody else, it kind of becomes your own program year four. You and I have detailed 2018 when it comes to the road schedule. How does 2017 shake out is what's in front of us right now. We have a really good opponent in Arkansas State that we'll spend some more time on here next segment. And the pure, just straight dope on this is Nebraska needing at a minimum to go 7-1 at home this year. At a minimum, find a way to have a positive over 500 record against the Penn States, the Ohio States, the Wisconsin. It can't be over. Not again. And you can't be over against Wisconsin. You can't be over against Iowa. And people really like Mike Riley. They want him to win. They really enjoy his personality. They are ready for something new. They want to see that his vision, his plan, and his style of offense can work. They also want to see that Nebraska wins with and by toughness. And they have seen some of the sexiness. They've seen the recruiting uptick. They've seen a quarterback come in. They've seen a room of quarterbacks come to Lincoln, and there has some excitement for that. You've seen a defensive shift. You fire your best friend in the name of making things much better. That's wonderful. But you need to see it on the field, because right now it's been a lot of hype. It's been a lot of hope, and it needs to produce. And it needs to produce in year three. Show Nebraska fans that 9-4, while they'll take, is a better looking 9-4. It's not a 62-3, 9-4 type season.
Yeah, no, you're perfectly. It's being in games. It's winning. It's just being relevant. You know, it's not getting to the end of the season. It's like, well, there's no shot. You know,
right. You may not win it, but at least you'll be there.
Pride, but you know what? The game's got to be, you know, this is the go to Indianapolis. This is the win the West. You want to be in the games. But playing for that fight crap, you're always playing for fight. But it's just, you know, it's being up there. It's being in the discussion. It's being the talk of, you know, what's the future look like in Austin Mike Riley because he's performed well here. It's not what's the future look like now because the team is 6-6 or 7-5 and they lost a team they shouldn't have lost to and they lost football games. Like, you know, like you kind of saw maybe against Illinois the first year. You know, games that just, I mean, you can't lose that way. And just stuff like that. You can't deal with that. I mean, just that stuff cannot happen in year three.
Where are you at? Have you changed your mind at all on that first year? I'm not saying giving him a pass, but the more I look back at it, the more I'm like, he had I don't know, so much promise that first year, but he had so much crap he had to deal with that first year.
I mean, it's tough. You're trying to square a round hole. Of the situation, you know, that's the hardest thing, you know, for him in year one. You know, you got a quarterback that you've never had a mobile quarterback that his legs are strong, you know, it's a better asset than his arm in some situation. Even Tommy had a great arm, but it's maybe more decision. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It was hard. He made it work. He made it work last year. They had depth of him in Langford. They tried to do the best they could. But it's go time now. It's go time. You can still say you have some excuses, new coordinator, new quarterback. You know what? You got your guy at quarterback. You have a guy that fits your system. You spent some money on your D coordinator. It's time to make a move and be relevant and get back in that Big Ten top tier discussion.
Hail Varsity Radio. We are on the road here at Miller Time Pub. Home Football Fridays inside the legendary Cornhusker Hotel Marriott. As Jay Moore on site, Chris Schmidt, we are here. The High Life Happy Hour going on 4-7. We invite you down with Hail Varsity Radio. Plenty of goodies you can get, including a sweet big red fedora Mr. Devaney would love. And we are down here till 6 at Hail Varsity Radio, a road show. The first of many here, Home Football Fridays, here at the Cornhusker inside of Miller Time Pub. Quick time out, and we'll be back with Arkansas State, Nebraska thoughts on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes, that's awesome.
You know what's awesome? Being at Miller Time Pub, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 4-7 is when the High Life Hour is going on. And we invite you down here. Hail Varsity is here 4-6. Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity is on site. We'll grab him momentarily to jump on and talk about Nebraska football. Jay Moore is here. It's Chris Schmidt, and Derek Peterson is he's a new rider with Hail Varsity. We're really excited about him. He is tremendous. He is outstanding, and he's a guy that you got to read for Hail Varsity. So we'll get Derek situated here in a moment, and we're going to do a line change here. What you need to look at here is the $2 off any draft beer Monday through Friday, 4-7 with High Life Hour. That's a good thing. Jay, you've been eyeing several taps, I'm sure, about. How's the choices coming?
I mean, the lineup looks phenomenal. I mean, yeah. There's I mean, there's legitimately, what, 14, 15 solid draft choices of beers up there. You know, if you can't find one there, you got problems.
Absolutely. And I need a picture of this because I the bubble is shrunk. Jay Moore's own booth space is shrunk.
That's
Derek,
all right.
Derek, I'm just messing with you. Derek Peterson is with us at Dr. Petey 15. He is on site with us here to talk Nebraska. And the mailbag each week with Hail Varsity. Derek, thanks for coming down.
Yeah.
We were just spending a little bit of time discussing, you know, how big is year three for Coach Riley in this Nebraska program. Jay and I really know that, look, Nebraska fans want him to succeed. They enjoy him. He's made a lot of hard choices professionally and personally with some of the decisions he's made with the guys he brought from Oregon State. He's a tireless worker when it comes to recruiting. He's got his vision and his guy at quarterback. All that said, the meter is running. Get back to relevancy. Get back to winning divisions. And that's why a change was made. That's why he was brought in. What do you think about Riley in year three? We'll get some of your projections and expectations in a second, but overall, perception-wise, locally and nationally, how big, how monstrous is year three?
I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think so either because they like him, and they should. I mean, he's a guy you root for, honestly.
I wrote this, what was it, yesterday when we did the mailbag? They could win 5 games this season, and he would still be fine. I think that he's safe because they like him. They think that he's a good representation of what they want to be as a program and who Nebraska is. And I just don't think he's going anywhere. I think Eichhorst and him are kind of tied at the hip as well. And I don't think Sean's going anywhere either. So, I mean, he could have whatever kind of season he wants to have this year, really, and be safe.
Okay. I think there's always a number, and the only number and situation that doesn't apply to Bird is probably Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's situations out there where you have programs that a coach is maybe just a year away. I think the point you made with the athletic director support, the fan support, and kind of the want to that, yeah, I think things can work out. What's a number, a win total that you're about, Derek, that you think's fair for Nebraska this year?
Yeah, before I give you that, I will say, though, that it's year three, so those things stand. But if we were in, like, year five or something like that,
sure,
and he hadn't hit 10 wins, then we would be having a different conversation. I think they get 10 wins this year, though. We did our predictions earlier today, and I think they're going to lose to Oregon. But I've got them beating Wisconsin and Ohio State and then losing to Penn State on the road, getting 10 wins.
Okay.
So,
Bird, we'll narrow it down here in a little bit with your prediction and my prediction. We'll get that in there. Let's talk Arkansas State. Two guys you're looking at to perform well for Nebraska, Jay. Two guys you're looking at to perform well, Derek, for Nebraska tomorrow night.
You
go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I think you got to look at Tanner Lee. I think you got to have him always performing well. You need to, with the hype that's been surrounding him, he needs to play well. I mean, it's just to get people in the right frame of mind about your quarterback and just see there's some substance there. I think he has to play well. And I'll take a guy on defense. I think, a guy like a Mick Stoltenberg, you know, kind of a new position. He needs to play well. I think that's my opinion, is probably an anchor of this defense. I think him playing that nose spot in that 3-4, I think he has to come out and play well and make, I mean, if he plays well, those two linebackers behind him will play well, and the defense will look clean and it'll look very productive. So those are my two guys.
Okay, so you go with Mick, the big Mick,
mm-hmm,
and you go with Tanner Lee. Derek, who are a couple of guys you're looking for? I have my two as well.
On offense, I think the guy that I'm going to be watching the most is Cole Conrad at center. Moving over, I want to see, you know, how clean the snaps are, how clean the exchanges are and everything like that. And then, you know, how they handle Arkansas State's front line, because they got some monsters on the front line.
Yes, they got a lot of guys that are angry about life and want to take it out on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a guy that's going to – he's coming up on, what, Miles Garrett and Von Miller now, Roland Jones is. So – and then on offense – they're on defense, excuse me. I'm looking at Lamar Jackson at corner. He had a rough year last year, and he's been very honest and open about that. throughout camp and getting ready for this season that he didn't play how he wanted to play last year. And he says that things are going to be different this year. So I'm really curious what that's going to look like on the field and how some of the work that he's put in translates into the new defense and being kind of the corner with Chris Jones out.
Have you been pretty excited, Jay, about this defense, this switch, what you're going to see tomorrow night? Derek, I'll have you follow up with that too. My takeaway is just the vibe, the feel. I know energy's been pounded about, but it does matter, and I think you can speak to that.
No, I am excited. I've been a huge fan of a 3-4 defense. I haven't played it for a few years. I think it's an excellent option for. It just gives offenses fits if you do it well, if you execute it well. And I'm very excited just to see how the guys are going to step up. Who's going to play these certain roles? Who's going to look comfortable? Who's not going to look comfortable? I'm really excited to see the progress this defense is going to go. The guys, once they start getting more and more comfortable with it, especially the outside linebacker position, you're going to see it's going to be a really fun defense to watch once you kind of get maybe past once you get into conference play and guys have a few games underneath their belt.
Derek, you look at Diaco and how do you think he treats tomorrow night? Yes, win, be all over it, but how do you think he has his guys ready for the opportunity?
They'll be ready. I mean, they've had a couple months to kind of be itching for this game. They'll be ready. I don't think they're going to show a whole lot. There's not going to be a whole lot of exotic packages or crazy blitzes or anything like that. I think it'll be a pretty vanilla base defense just because of the fact that it's the first game and, you know, they've got Oregon coming later. So I'm excited, though. I'm excited to see them.
No, I can't wait to get this thing checked out either. And you've been building up, been waiting. And you have the defense, you have the offense, you have so many different things working in favor for Nebraska. It's another night game. It's been an issue where teams have come in and played well against Nebraska. And I go back to the Wyoming game a few years back where Nebraska really had to hold on. Now you have Arkansas State. You have a team that's won a lot of games, and I think they're a team, Derek, that is probably pretty emotionally charged to try and go out and show out for their coach.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to one of the Arkansas State beat writers, and he was talking about how with Coach Anderson's situation that he's got going on, and all the players know Wendy, and she's been around, and he said that this is going to be a very emotional game for them, and he thinks that that's going to be positive in terms of translating to how they play on the field. And we've kind of heard that there will be some kind of recognition of the Anderson family by, was it the student section? Yeah.
The Boneyard.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I think they'll be fired up. I think it was Brandon that said that this is the week that they should be on upset watch. Because, you know, they're defensively, Arkansas State isn't your typical group of five team, especially on the front line.
No, they have some guys that'll be playing in the league. Jay, you've had a chance to see Arkansas State for a little bit, and you know what D-liner's all about. Mm-hmm. You know what Javon off the edge is all about. And, you know, we'll wind this down here, a couple minutes left in this segment. Do you think Nebraska's offensive line can respond?
I hope so. I mean, they better. I spoke with you on Wednesday, I believe, and it's just a great opportunity for a guy like Nick Gates, and, you know, that didn't perform well in the game of, against Tennessee in the bowl game. It's important for these guys to bounce back, to show that they can perform, they can compete against very, very good talent. It's just a great game for those five guys to play against a very, very good front four, and get all on the same page. Get off on the right start and to head into Oregon and play well and stone those guys and block them well and perform well, move the ball. And you do those type of things, it just builds confidence. It builds confidence, and you keep going, you keep building on that. And hopefully everyone stays healthy and you can build and keep going and battle through the season and play very, very well. And I think this group of five is more than capable of doing that. And nice thing is, too, we're finally starting to get some depth. You know, there's finally some depth that's developed at this O-line spot. Last year you saw not a lot of depth. You saw a lot of guys play that didn't play very well. So we finally got some guys, younger guys, that can step in. If someone does get dinged up, I think they can fill the void very quickly, and that should obviously help the rest of the season.
All right, we are down here at Miller Time Pub, Hail Varsity Radio on the road. All the home football Fridays, we're here at Miller Time Pub. Derek Peterson is with us at Dr. PD 15 of Hail Varsity. He's done a great job covering Nebraska. And Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, a reminder for you, get down here to Miller Time Pub inside the just legendary Cornhusker Hotel, Cornhusker Marriott. $2 off appetizers, the famous fried cheese curds, the chicken wings, and ultimate nachos on special, the Miller Time fries, and pub pretzels, black and chicken quesadilla. And well, High Life Hours going on, $2 off any draft beer. That's a good thing. And you have $2 off Miller Lite, yes. Champagne of beers, High Life, yes. Coors Light, Jay Bird's going, please. Mm-hmm. And then there's Guinness, there's Killian's, there's Boulevard, there's Stella, there's you know, beer for all your loves and choices here. And hey, they have street tacos going on this weekend. That's a good thing. And the specialty items, their summer chicken wrap, their turkey. And you're going to want to be down here. Home Football Fridays, 4 to 6, as we'll wind down this segment. Still time for you to get on down here to Miller Time Pub with Hail Varsity at ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are here at Miller Time Pub. Chris Schmidt and Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Big thanks to Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com for stopping by and giving us his thoughts on Arkansas State, giving us his thoughts and some predictions on Nebraska this year. Jay and I will get into season predictions here shortly after 5. Klausburn and Brandon Vogel, the Friday forecast, will commence at 5:25, and it is still High Life Hour going on down at Miller Time Pub till 7. We're here till 6. Food and drink specials, you got to come by and see. And behind Jay Moore, I am peering to my right at a kind of a wall of mugs, of koozies, of what else do we have? Oh yeah, some of the Miller t-shirts. And you have St. Mary's walking by right now. Volleyball is staying here. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska and Arkansas State gets rocking tomorrow night. Jay will spend a second here on home field advantage and what it doesn't mean anymore in college football. And I remember like it was yesterday, the day that Nebraska had their 47-game home win streak snapped, and that was Ricky Williams. That was 1998, and it was a bloodbath ball game for both teams, 20-16 the score. And you know, Nebraska kind of regained some of their supremacy in the late 90s. Team you were on in 2000 went undefeated. 2001 went undefeated. But I mean, Nebraska, It had been a long time. It had been since 2012, the last time Nebraska went undefeated at home until last year. They won all their home games last year. And why? I wanted to get your perspective on this. As a Nebraska guy, A, what responsibility did you feel about defending Memorial Stadium? And B, when it went on the road, were you guys intimidated by it? And why do you think teams aren't as intimidated now?
I don't know. It's weird. I always felt like you had just a little more juice playing at home. Just the fans, the excitement of everything. It's just, you know, the familiarity of everything, staying in the same hotel, kind of just being a little bit better of a routine. You know, you're not flying anywhere. You know, flying can take it out of guys. Or a long bus ride if you're going to, you know, like where you're going to Ames or even to Manhattan or something like that. Being stuck in a bus for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, it can be a little tasking. But I think just the juice that the fans provide, it helps. It definitely helps. And, you know, when things kind of get going or you kind of get going sideways, the fans are able to step in, give some encouragement at sometimes. But all of a sudden you get on the road and all of a sudden, you know, things start getting a little fuzzy, go a little haywire. You feel that momentum just kind of slip a little bit. You feel it gets a little more greasier. It gets a little harder to hang on to, in my opinion. It's just in some guys, just I don't know. It's just I never felt any different. I'll be honest, but when you start as a team, you can just feel it, and all of a sudden that juice, that energy, it kind of gets zapped out of you. And that's that huge, drastic momentum shift in college football that you see. It always happens. You saw it last night in the Ohio State game. You know, Indiana looks like they're about to drive, and all of a sudden pick. And then, you know, it's right there. It's like, man, you know, Indiana could have almost looked like they're going to take away with this thing. And all of a sudden,
Indiana could have up 21-3
right. No, yeah. Easily. So all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now that didn't happen. It's completely all new ball game. So it's that momentum shift that's just greater. It's just greater on the road when things, especially when things don't go your way. Now, it's great when you're kicking someone's ass and they're quiet, man. And that takes it to another level.
That's even cooler.
No, it's way better. Oh, yeah. It's great. But when you start slipping, it gets hard. It gets hard to grab it back. But those great teams are able to do that. The great teams are able to, when they're on the road and they feel it slip, and are able to, you know, grasp on and hang on and kind of go through those lulls of that momentum wave and catch that other ride of that big momentum wave to go to your side. So, but I don't know. It's every team, I feel like, is different though. Every team I've been on, every team you look at in the past, every team's different. You know, Bo's teams didn't perform well at home for sometimes because they thought it might be too much pressure. You know, it's just every team's different.
If I were to give you the winningest teams at home since 2005, if I were to give you a top four list.
Could I guess them?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Since 2004 or 5?
Since 2005. Give me the four teams that have been the best at home in college football.
USC?
Nope.
Alabama?
Yes.
Man. Ohio State?
Yes.
Man. Whew, this is hard.
Think rival before Texas ruined it.
Colorado?
Oklahoma.
Colorado was, they're not, you know, they had those down. What about Pac? Is there a Pac-12 team?
If they were invited. Boise.
Really?
You're
okay, sure, sure. I was going to say, I thought Stanford always played well at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they've not been solid as much because they're one of those, they're not quite Iowa, but they're one of those teams that builds up and they'll sneak in every 5 or 6 years. It seems like an 8-4 or a 9-4. But Boise's been incredible. Oklahoma's been incredible. Ohio State, I think they've lost twice at home. To Vince Young and to
Michigan State.
And to Michigan State two years ago.
Right.
And then Oklahoma doesn't lose at home very often. To Kansas State is about it. And Alabama, their last home loss was to Johnny Football in 2011. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's what you have. So the expectations of defending home field are there. But I think there's more of an edge and an excitement level. And, you know, go crush somebody's soul type mentality when you go on the road.
Mm-hmm. No, it's kind of cliche, but it's that us against the world. You know, you only have, you're going into a, you know, you go into A&M now and it's 100,000 are there, you know, and you might get.
They feel it's like a tough place to go play at. And it's not easy, but. Man, Memorial Stadium's kind of like it too. People just kind of come in here and win. They have.
I'll be honest. I mean, it's not the hardest place to play. I mean, there's times where this place is rocking and it's great. You look at some Wisconsin games. You look at some of the games I were a part of. Texas is here. But sometimes when things aren't kind of going Nebraska's way, Nebraska fans kind of get a little quiet, kind of sit on their hands a little bit, you know. And again, for them, they're running out of juice. They're running out of energy as well because the team's not performing well. And it gets hard. It's hard. You know, there's really nothing to cheer for. But it's not. It's definitely not the most challenging place to play. You know, any place you go in the SEC is very, very tough to play. Any place, you know, there's a lot of Pac-12 schools. There's a lot of
pride of Southeast. Bob Evnen walking by.
You know, there's trust me, there's many places I played that I thought, you know, was more difficult to play than Memorial Stadium. But still, there's nothing better than Memorial Stadium, in my opinion. But there's still places that, you know, when things get going, man, it is a tough, tough place. A&M is one of them. Mm-hmm. When things get going at Missouri, that's a tough, tough place to play.
Missouri can be a bear trap, can it?
Yes, that's a very – I mean, Boulder's not easy. even though we had a lot of, we had, you know,
you need to knock never lost a game off.
Right, right.
But it gets nuts there.
Yeah, I never lost a game in Boulder, but it's another. I mean, any place you go is not easy, but there's a few of them that are they're bananas to play in.
That is Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. Miller Time Pub is where we're at. Home Football Fridays. Hail Varsity is on the road. A quick timeout. We'll wind down hour one. Nebraska presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hail Varsity continues after this.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Here at Miller Time Pub, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore. Brandon Vogel coming up, along with Clausburn for the Friday forecast. Derek Peterson down here. We invite you down. It's High Life Hour from 4 to 7, $2 off. Draft beers, yes please, $2 off appetizers, and also $1 off house wine and well drinks. So you are invited down to Miller Time Pub. Home Football Fridays, we're here with Hail Varsity. Coming up at 25 after, you'll want to get locked in for Clausburn as the return of the Friday forecast. We will get into some predictions for the season with Nebraska. And, Jay, I got a simple enough question for you, my friend. Is tomorrow night upset alert for Nebraska? Do you feel that strongly about – I mean, you've seen the line drop.
What is the line now?
It's 14 and a half.
Yeah, see, it's interesting. It probably just means people are betting heavy. They're betting heavy Nebraska.
New defense,
right.
New quarterback who's running the football.
Right. I mean, there's a little bit. There's a lot. I mean, I don't know. This is one of those games I wouldn't even touch just because there's just so many, you know, there's so many unknowns.
Just run the other way.
Right, right. There's so many unknowns. You don't know. I mean, you don't – hell, we don't – there's been a lot about Diaco's defense, but we haven't – sure as hell haven't seen anything, you know. There's been a lot about Tanner Lee, but, I mean, really, you haven't – spring game, that's about it, you know. It wasn't like you – wasn't a full playbook and had a full gamut of options there. So, I don't know. It's – like I said, I think it's going to be a little uncomfortable early. I do. I think it's going to be a dogfight a little bit just because it's just new first games go. I mean, I'll never forget my junior year. We're playing Maine our first game, and it's a dogfight early.
Oh, the Black Bears.
Yeah, it's a dog. But we end up winning it was a very subdued win, but it was like 24-7 maybe. But
well, it took old Rudy to make a play
right,
on a turnover.
Right, right. But I remember we threw a pick, and they might have got like a touchdown off a pick or something. And you know, but there's those first games you just don't know because you don't have preseason games. Your kids are young. Like I said, they're gonna struggle with some things. They might have come up in camp. Special teams are a huge issue because you don't usually go live a whole lot with special teams, at risk of getting guys hurt. So you don't know how your kickoff game is going to be, your kick return, your punt game, your punt block game. You just don't know your punt return. There's just so many unknowns. It's tough. It's really, really hard unless, you know what, you got your starting quarterback back, you got your starting running back, you got four starting old linemen back. That's not the case. You know, we're sitting pretty at some situations, but some very important positions, we don't know. And that's quarterback, and that's really hard.
All right. If you plan to go out and drink tonight, make sure you have that safe ride home. Get a designated driver. And if you don't, your plans that could have been safe, i.e. the designated driver, you could wind up spending a lot of money because you get that DWI, $12,000 in fines and fees and in jail time. And you'll be required to install that interlock device to your vehicle. I'll tell you what, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. We are here at Miller Time Pub. You're invited down here till 6 o'clock. High Life Hour goes till 7. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, as we have the Friday forecast coming up shortly at 25 after 5. Brandon Vogel will join us, get his take on things as it's Miller Time Pub. Here inside the Cornhusker Marriott with Hail Varsity Radio, and you're invited out. Hour two coming up shortly.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
In hour two, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore is with us on-site at Millertime Pub. The High Life Hour is commencing till 7 o'clock. We are here till 6, $2 off appetizers here at Millertime Pub. If you haven't stopped by Millertime, please do. It's inside the legendary Cornhusker Marriott Hotel. You can't miss us. There's a sign outside, Home Football Fridays, that says, come on down and enjoy Millertime Pub with Hail Varsity and ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480. So if you can't make it tonight, we forgive you. But get it locked down, because it's going to get bigger and better as the weeks grow. And it doesn't get much better than this time of year with the season opener for Nebraska football. And I love this opponent. I think it's going to serve Nebraska well as the season moves forward, because they are not your average group of five Sunbelt squad. They have some fellas. They have a defensive line. They've got a quarterback that was Oklahoma good. They got a tight end that is going to make you go, gee, Gronk, take another shot. Different body type, same usement with him. Bird, let's get into some predictions here, not necessarily on to tomorrow night. Friday forecast is coming up here in about 20 minutes. But for the season, and again, can log on HailVarsity.com and get caught up with recruiting with Greg Smith, Nebraska team coverage with Derek Peterson and Brandon Vogel and Jacob Padilla. They did their rundown of predicting the season. I've held off on this for a while, and I'm ready to put my money where my mouth is, and not counting a bowl game, how many wins will Nebraska finish with? You have if everything goes well, you have a max of 15 games. Mm-hmm. That's if your college football playoff good.
Right.
Nebraska a ways from that yet.
Long ways.
How many? How many wins does Nebraska
have? Not including the bowl game.
Not including the bowl game.
I've been thinking about this for a while, because I said they could go 10-2 or 6-6. So that being said, I'll say 9-3.
Okay.
9-3. The losses that will be there. I don't feel very good about Ohio State. I don't feel very good about Penn State. I feel good about Oregon. I feel good about Wisconsin. I think they'll win those games. I think they're going to drop. They're going to have a hiccup.
Yeah, okay, so
they're going to have a hiccup in there. I just think it's going to be to a Northwestern or a tricky Friday night game at Illinois.
Okay.
You know, I think Lovie Smith's Illinois team will be much improved, but I just think there's going to be a hiccup in there. I really do.
So let's dive a little deeper here, like it's therapy.
I want to talk about this.
You know, did you get out? Did you pull that noise in junior high where I didn't go talk to my counselor?
No, never did.
I didn't either. But I knew friends who did.
Sure,
they were wonderful with it. My goldfish kicked. And there's something on my iPad here. This is great. Carson is sloppy. Okay, so listen. You look at not counting the bowl games. I'm going to see your 9,
okay,
and raise you 1. I think Nebraska has a great opportunity to defend home field, and I don't expect them to beat Ohio State. I expect them to win the rest of their home games.
Sure.
And get a 7-1 home mark. I think Oregon's going to be a tight game, okay? And again, if I'm talking 10 wins in 2 weeks when we're here, that may be down to 7, and I can base that off of how they look against Arkansas State, how they look against Oregon,
mm-hmm,
two pretty good teams. So why do I say 10? I say 10 pretty simply because I am a believer in this quarterback and in this offense. I'm a big believer in it working together. I'm also a believer in a guy like Diaco, knowing what his job is,
mm-hmm,
and being closer to 2003 Nebraska versus 2008 Nebraska. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I you know how good 08 became, and then boom, you had 09.
Right.
You know what 03 was. You were part of it. Bo came in and rocked. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had some great players on that team, but it's a vast difference from the 02 season, right? Same players.
I agree. No,
same players. So I look at it as the defense can help. The offense can be something that's tremendous. And, you know, together it can get you 10. And you need to sweep your Western opponents to come to Memorial Stadium. And they are beyond a hiccup, in my opinion. They still got to prove it. But I'm saying with this talent, with this team, with this schedule, you can't have a hiccup against Purdue. You can't have a hiccup against Illinois. And I know everyone else is trying to get better. But this team, despite how young they are, should manage and deal with it and win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they should listen.
Should.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda, whatever you want to say. I mean, Illinois, I mean, losing to Northwestern is not, I mean, Northwestern's going to be a very good football team again with what they got coming back. I understand that. I mean, playing Iowa at home. They're playing at home, but still, it's going to be a tough battle. I mean, French teams always, they're tough, man. They know how to muddy up a game. I mean, listen, if they go 9-3, and one of those losses is to Northwestern and Iowa, but you're still able to win the West, you know, and it's going to be interesting, but it's three Big Ten losses. You know, that's tough. You're putting cards in someone else's hands and saying, hey, I hope you mess up as well. Because, you know what, I'm not familiar with what Wisconsin, what Iowa, and what Northwestern has as their conference, you know, how their conference plays out.
The crossovers.
Right, the crossovers and everything like that. But I mean, that's you're putting your life in someone else's hands. And you just
control it yourself,
brother. Right, right. Easier said than done. But I just, 9-3, I feel comfortable. I mean, honestly, it'd be better if we would go 9-3 and probably lose to Oregon.
Okay.
You know, it's going to work out better for you in the long run because you only have two conference losses. And there's more than likely that a lot of these teams are going to lose to Ohio State as well. Probably going to lose to Penn State as well. You know, so you have those. I mean, you beat Wisconsin, you should win that head-to-head matchup, that tiebreaker. You beat Iowa, you should have that tiebreaker. Depending on Northwestern, or, you know, you beat Northwestern, obviously you have that tiebreaker. But, you know, you probably feel better about yourself if you lose to Oregon and you go 9-3, because that just works out better for your conference. But I don't know why I feel good about Oregon. I think that with the new head coach,
I think Taggart's going to be awesome.
He's going to be great, but I mean, it's just,
it's good to get Oregon now.
Correct, 100% correct.
Because half of those guys are like, just let me finish this out.
Right.
He sent guys to the hospital.
Right.
Because he's a hard ass. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's great to get Oregon now. Next year, Oregon, you want nothing to do with. 2 years from now, Oregon, you want nothing to do with. Charlie Strong's going to be sending Christmas cards to Coach Taggart from now till the end of time because he has a chance to run the table this year with South Florida.
Right.
What he left him. Taggart's going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the time for Nebraska to get them. And that's doable. They're soft.
Right. No, they are. That's totally doable. I mean,
we're fast-forwarding a week.
Right. But you get Royce Freeman. I mean, he's a hell of a player. But you know what? I mean, if he doesn't get hurt last year, the game probably goes a little differently because you couldn't.
Season.
Right. Right. Hell of a player. I don't know who they got blocking for him. I don't know who they got coming back from last year. I don't know. But I feel good. I feel good about Oregon. I feel good about Wisconsin. People think I'm crazy, but I feel good about those games.
Okay. We're going to move on from, I say 10, you say 9. Okay, Nebraska's record against Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, go.
Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State?
The big three.
1-2.
1-2?
1-2.
Okay, I agree with you. I think 1-2. I don't think, I think Nebraska has to split. For the West, you need to beat Wisconsin.
Correct.
For the national perception, you got to beat Ohio State. Again, easier said than done. Penn State will be good. I think Nebraska has to split at home with Wisconsin or Ohio State and then go play well enough to win and maybe not get it done because crazy things happen out in Siberia.
Right. I mean,
I think 1-2 is what should happen. I think 0-3 is also in the ballpark. You go 2-1, that is a monster feather in Riley's cap for year 3.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You go 2-1 in that situation.
And Franklin did it last year.
Correct. Correct. But I mean, you talking, you're at Penn State, more than likely at night, in front of 90,000 crazy fans all dressed in white.
Well, edit.
Right. that's gonna be a tough one. But you go 2-1 in that scenario, boy. I mean, that's what you want to see in year three. You want to talk about now we're talking. Now we're cooking with grease. You know, now we're cooking with gas. It's something's kind of that ball starting to roll. You're starting to see some productive things because, you know, you look at those. I don't think it's doable, but you overcome a feat like that. You know, that's a way to end out that second half of the season that Nebraska hasn't been very adept doing. You know, they've always struggled in the second half. You saw it last year, played very well, even though the schedule was soft.
So is Nebraska going to be able to make that jump because of Diaco, because of retooling, because of the strength and conditioning? To shift to further predictions, will Nebraska be a team you're proud of when it comes to finishing the game?
I hope so. That's
an issue,
right? No, without a doubt, without a doubt. I mean, finishing the game, finishing the season. They finished poorly last year. Finished well the year before, even though you go 5-7, you sneak into you get gifted a bowl game and you play well against a halfway decent UCLA team. Makes you feel better about yourself, but it's like, you know what? You know, you still went 6-7 with some major, major issues. But I think this team will just be overall in better situations in football games because of smarter decision plays with quarterback. I think the O-line will be better, not great. I think they'll be much improved. But I think you're just not going to see the carelessness with the football as much as you saw with Tommy. I mean, Tommy was able to make some stuff happen, but also it was he put you behind the eight ball too many times. I don't foresee that as much with this team. Which, you know what, you're gonna have more possessions to win a game, to be in the game later third quarter, fourth quarter against the Wisconsins, against the Ohio States, against the Penn States. It just happens. You have more possessions, and it's just you're in better field positions, and it's just the percentage game plays out better for you.
What's like the worst case scenario for this offense with the right quarterback, and with this system meshing? We talked about an hour one. What's the bare minimum it can do for you?
Well, I think you're going to get consistent play. I really do. I think we always talk about the balanced attack. I think it'll be very balanced. I think. You know, you're not going to have the capability to run with a quarterback like you have with Tommy. I think that stresses defenses out because you have to count, you have to factor in the running back, or excuse me, the quarterback in the numbers game. You're not going to have that with Tanner. But I think they're able to add some other wrinkles. You're going to have J.D. Spillman now playing. He's going to be, you know, that guy you're going to see some good stuff with him. DeMornay going to be as healthy as he's been. You know, you have a guy like Morgan. You have the tight end plays going to become more factored in, the fullback being more factored in. There's a lot of things you can do within the West Coast offense to make you very, very balanced attack. My biggest thing, I don't think there's going to be this offense is going to be firepower. I don't think it's, go put up 35 plus points every game. I think this is going to be more methodical attack. I do. I think it's going to be chip away, chip away, chip away, make smart plays, take advantage of what they're giving you. Maybe bust a couple of big ones, but I just think you're always going to be chipping away. You're never going to be behind the chains for most of the game. You know, just chip away. Make the smart plays. Hey, 2-yard gain, 2-3-yard gain. Hey, great. It's better than an interception. It's going to be very methodical, very balanced. And some people might get frustrated because they're not, you know, no big plays. But hey, you know what? Sometimes it is what it is, and it's going to keep you in more ball games, in my opinion.
How excited and relaxed will Danny Langsdorf be this season? Because he's finally got his guy. And you and I both thought there were times a year ago where it's like you're driving on ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could make that turn or you could wipe out and trash a mailbox. Okay?
Right.
And he was worried about hitting the mailbox at the end of regulation against Wisconsin because of who he had throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Danny and his stress level drops a bit because of who he's got? This isn't Pinata Tommy. It's not.
No, it's not. Tommy, was a hell of a quarterback. Yes. Don't get me wrong.
It's just decision making,
man.
I swear to you, Tommy felt like he had to make all the plays.
Right.
Because his line wasn't helping him, and he had
right.
His run game
right.
was
He was running
down.
For his life. I mean, yes. He was. Not at all. I'm just saying,
Is Danny going to just be like lighting a cigar going, yes, my thing?
I just think I think he'd be a little more comfortable, but I think Tanner's ability to probably progress through the passing tree and the passing game and look and scan the field and understanding that, it's like Tommy, it was home run or nothing, sometimes. And hey, that's what it was. But I think with Tanner, it's like he's going to be able to, it's like touchdown, checkdown. It's, it's scan the field. Hey, I got nothing over here, but I know what? I know I got my fullback. I got my tight end. I got my back to the flat. He's wide open. He's going to get us at worst 5 yards. It's just simple scanning of the field and making the smart decision.
Jay Moore is here. We are at Miller Time Pub. Home football Fridays. Chris Schmidt, come see us. High Life Hour continues till 7. We're here till 6. Friday forecast is coming up. Klausberg, Vogel, myself. The forecast is on the way with Hale Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is that time. Football season is back. It's a Friday forecast, and it's presented by the Gambler's Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. We welcome in Brandon Vogel of HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. And, Vogues, you looked like $1 million on 10-11 today, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Riddy.
Where'd you get the pocket square? I gotta know.
I think I got that when I was in New York at some point over the years. So it's one of my favorites. It's got roses on it. So there you go. Rose Bowl prediction for Nebraska.
Well, so we won't even need to ask you about Saturday night then, it doesn't sound like.
We'll see.
We welcome in Klausberg back for another season. We love him. He's imaginary, and he wears red. Klausberg, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, Christopher. I'm really excited that football is back. It gives me something else to do besides manage my fantasy cricket team. So I'm ready to go.
Well, we are ready to go. And I thought about calling you last week, Klausberg, because Coach Osborne was on with this, actually. We didn't make that call, though.
Well, I know you're old enough to remember what happened on Mortal Kombat when you had a mirror match, so it really could have been a disaster, so I think we might have had a crisis averted.
Well, that it is. We'll see if there's a crisis in Iowa City as we get the Friday forecast underway here on Hale Varsity. Wyoming and Craig Bowl, Josh Allen, and Kirk Ferentz, the Hawkeyes. Brian, now the offensive coordinator for Iowa. Iowa is favored by 11.5 the last time we checked. And we'll start things off. Bogues, are you intrigued by this matchup at all? What do you think happens?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm intrigued to see Wyoming. I'm not quite as sure on the Cowboys. We know they're set at quarterback, but I like Iowa here. I like them to cover. I'll take the Hawkeyes 31-17.
31-17 is a good number. I think Wyoming is going to hang. I think Josh Allen, you remember a year ago, came into Lincoln, things were okay. And then there were 5 turnovers, and it wasn't okay for Wyoming. He'll be a year better. The thing that Iowa has in the back of their mind is the respect for the little guy, and they can thank North Dakota State for that. They also hired away North Dakota State's offensive line coach. He's now in Iowa City, and I think that'll be the difference. Both lines of scrimmage supposed to be good for Iowa, and I think Iowa just has too much. 31-10, the win, the cover for the Hawkeyes over Coach Bowl and Wyoming. Klausberg, how do you see this? Hawkeyes or Cowboys?
Well, Iowa's a really hard team to predict. I mean, any given year they can find themselves either contending for titles or bottom of the barrel. I mean, they could either have a legitimate shot at Atlanta or Craig might be the only bowl they have to worry about all year. listen, boys, we've been doing this 5 years, and my joke armory is about 70% dad jokes at this point. So I think this is my upset special of the week. I'm going to take Wyoming in this one, 27-24, and a late field goal again, same as the North Dakota State game.
All right, Klausburn picking them Cowboys. The suspended bowl. I got nothing better. Michigan minus -5 against Florida. As we discuss right now, no one else has been booted from Florida for the game. Michigan is extremely young. Spate is experienced. He's not great, but he's not awful. Florida has a ton of speed and talent. And McElwain and Harbaugh, they may shake hands, but I believe they'll probably spit on them first. They don't like each other, and there's been some mind games going on. Listen, I'm going to pick Michigan basically because the Big Ten has to have a Michigan win. It's a premier non-conference. It's a two top 20 teams going off. It's a 2:30 kick, and I like Michigan just because of the quarterback. Simple as that. I never thought I'd circle Spate as a difference maker, but Florida, really, you don't know what you're going to get with Malik. You don't know what you're going to get with Del Rio, and there's a third dude that could beat both of them out. I don't know. I just like Michigan. I like Harbaugh, and I think they'll get this thing done 21-14, low scoring. Vogues?
Yeah, for what should be a marquee game this weekend, I think it has the potential to be pretty ugly. Michigan, as you mentioned, edge at quarterback, but still pretty young overall. Florida might be playing eight-man. We don't know yet. Everyone's jumping on the Wolverines. I think they'll get the win, but I'm going to take Florida to cover barely. They lose 24-20.
Okay. Klausburn, the Gators or the Wolverines? How you feeling?
Well, Gators and Wolverines, khakis versus jorts. Hail to the victor versus Dale to the senior.
Wow.
You know, Dallas is currently experiencing a gasoline shortage that was caused by soccer moms who get all their news from Facebook memes. And so I think this actually works in Florida's favor. There's going to be a need for some football players for the Gators and a lot of gas station attendants who have nothing else to do on Saturday. So I'm going to go ahead and take Michigan in this one, 31-17.
Okay, so Klausburn's doing a Big Ten solid right now. West Virginia, Virginia Tech, old Big East rivals for 1,000 years, no more. It's Vautech's in the ACC. West Virginia's in the Big 12. -4 for the Hokies. I don't know a ton about either team. I know the Scullet. Coach Dana is a lot of fun. I think their defense should be better this year. Virginia Tech, though, has a Nebraska transfer at quarterback. Didn't win the job, but enjoyed my time covering him while he was at Nebraska. I just think Fuentes has things going the right way. I think Virginia Tech's been a team that's had a lot of talent for years, and I think Fuentes will maximize that talent. 10-win season for him last year. They'll be around that this year, I think, or you know, hovering around that 8-9 number. Maybe they get 10. And I think they edge West Virginia here. Real close number. I think West Virginia covers, though. Give me a 31-28 Virginia Tech win over West Virginia. What do you think about that, Vogues? Agree, disagree? How you leaning?
Yeah, I like it. I think this is going to be actually one of the more fun games of the weekend. There's going to be a lot of points. West Virginia is probably the better team top to bottom. Vautech starting a new quarterback, but I just like Fuentes. I'm going to go that way. Narrow cover, a lot of points. Virginia Tech 41-35.
Wow, so you're doubling up. Okay, you think it is going to be a kind of a Swiss cheese defense. I admire that, and you could be right with it. Klausburn, Hokies or Mountaineers?
Well, it's been quite a year for West Virginia already. And this year is finally the year they get to look east toward regular Virginia and say, man, can you believe these rednecks? I mean, everyone's been bashing the state of Virginia for the past month, as you know. And we all feel about Virginia the way Love Seats and Sofas feel about Morgantown.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I've got to go. I always err on the side of the team that plays John Denver music in their stadium, unironically. So I'll take West Virginia in this one, 38-31.
Okay, shootout again, and Klausburn says go with the Mountaineers. Florida State, Bama, that number is 7-4. Roll Tide. I have been told 100 different things about this game. Gary Barnett, Phil Steele think Florida State have an amazing shot. I think Bama is going to come out ready to hurt somebody. And at quarterback, you have two tremendous talents in Francois and Hurts. And with Florida State, you've got an experienced offensive line that wasn't good a year ago. There's a couple of redshirt freshmen that are now redshirt sophomores on that Florida State offensive line. There's no more Dalvin Cook, but there's another talented back behind Francois. I think this thing's close. I think Florida State covers the 7. I've been talked into that. I think Bama just finds a way to hang on, and it's going to be one of those kind of slugfests, 24-21, Alabama over Florida State, but Jimbo's got a great team. Vogues, what do you see?
Well, Alabama has been just such a killing machine in these week one games. They're used to preparing for matchups like this. This one's as big as they've had, but I think that experience edge of how to prepare for a game like this in the offseason makes a pretty big difference. I think Alabama's going to build a pretty good lead. Late touchdown from Florida State makes it a little closer. Still not enough to cover. I'll take the Tide 31-21.
Okay. Quoting that, killing machines from Brandon Vogel. Klausburn, what do you like here, Bama or Florida State?
Well, I don't know if Alabama's the best team in football, but I do know that they've got the best training staff in football. You know, I would think that the players and everyone at Alabama would have a lot more back problems considering they've been carrying the weight of the SEC narrative for the past several years. So kudos to them. But I guess I suppose I do have to agree with the middle-aged mutant ninja turtle, otherwise known as Paul Feinbaum, and go with Bama big here by a score of 28-14.
All right. It is Nebraska. It is Arkansas State. The line has dropped down to, in some corners, 14.5. Arkansas State is talented. They have a star at quarterback. They've got a really good defensive line. And I think this one is tight for Nebraska. I think the Huskers find a way. I think Arkansas State covers. Give me Nebraska 35-21 over those Red Wolves of Arkansas State. I just think Tanner Lee will get comfortable in the second half. I think Diaco will kind of infuse some confidence. I think Nebraska's corners will struggle a bit early but show up late. Vogues?
Yeah, I could see a wide range of outcomes with this one. I kind of bounce back and forth all week long, but I think Diaco's defense will do what he wants it to do, quote, keep the points down, unquote. The offense might struggle a little bit, probably more than people are expecting coming in. So I'll take Nebraska to win relatively comfortably, but get hooked here. So 28-14 Huskers.
Okay. Klausburn, what do you think?
Well, Arkansas State is obviously the school for Arkansas natives that don't feel like acting out scenes from Deliverance at all their sporting events. So I got respect for them for sure. But I think this game is going to be one of those games that are going to give Husker fans a reason to reach for the Tums. I think Arkansas State comes out and puts up a pretty good fight for three quarters before Nebraska pulls away, doesn't cover, but wins pretty comfortably by the end of it, 31-21.
There he is. That is Klausburn. That is Brandon Vogel. Chris Schmidt, the Friday Forecast. Brought to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. Vogues, take care.
Thank you.
Klausburn, be good.
Okay.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Yes, here at Miller Time Pub at Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. On the road, Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity was on in hour one. Brandon Vogel, you just heard with the Friday Forecast. Vogues is pretty intelligent. He's also an author.
and he's a TV star, and he's joining us in the booth now here on Hail Varsity. Vogues, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're okay. Bird? You had a boot? How was it?
It was good. It was cold. It was tasty. It came from the Rockies. You know, the mountains are blue, so it's
careful.
All, it's all
you'll
good
be
now.
Struck down in Miller Time Pub for talking about the Rockies.
They serve it here, so that's, they don't serve Bud Light. I heard someone ask for a Bud Light. They said, we don't serve Bud
good.
Light
that's,
here.
That's good.
Which is good, because I'm not a Bud Light guy.
But listen, we all know, like, the Bud Light gal.
Sure, yes.
And she's awesome. Mm-hmm. But... There's variety.
There is. There's a lot of variety.
Spice of life. Mm-hmm. How? Let's stay with the theme of variety here. And Barney said this last night, Coach Barnett. You can do two things with the 3-4. You can play base, or you can do some zone pressures with it. And he thinks Nebraska will want to stay in this 3-4 because of how new it is, as long as they can in the base. And if things get hairy, and by the way, he thinks they're going to have to hold on tomorrow, then they're going to bring some pressures. Jay, you played in the 3-4. You transitioned into the 3-4. Vogue, you've been covering the team, and you see this. It's going to be the Diaco defense versus the 3-4. What do you think happens? And I know score and time and all that will dictate, but what do you think Nebraska's preference is? Is be aggressive within the base, or just kind of come out firing and just absolutely give Oregon, and by the way, Arkansas State, a lot to deal with initially?
I think be aggressive within base. We're kind of talking earlier, Vogues. Arkansas State's playing 5 new offensive linemen. I don't think you have to get too crazy tomorrow. I think you can sit back and, I'll be honest, I don't know if they can get too crazy, just because I don't know how well these guys have transitioned into this 3-4 defense.
It's a secret.
Right,
bro.
But there could be a lot of players that, you know, Diaco's probably like, listen, we're still a ways away from firing all cylinders, so let's stick within these 4, 5, 6 calls here. And we can maybe tweak some things here and there and maybe give them a different look, but overall you're doing the same thing. But I think you're going to see more base stuff. And if things get a little hairy, a little fuzzy, you know, you might have to fire some things up. But it's all going to be from a pretty base, simple look, in my opinion, just because you're going to have to. Because I don't think the comfort level is just not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think you'll always have the preference to keep it as basic as you can in an opener, particularly with something like this where the book on you isn't very long yet. So it's as little as you can show and still survive, I think, is okay. I don't think there's any pressure on, well, this defense has to come out and be impressive. It's just got to be impressive enough to win, because we've seen how much Diaco likes to keep things under wraps so far.
So is there something in your minds, and I think Nebraska – I'm gonna circle a number of 3. I think they need 3 sacks tomorrow night. I know there's more important things than sacks. There's hurries. There's hits on a quarterback. Hanson's really talented. I mean, the guy's just good. And if there's no Baker, Hanson's probably at Oklahoma. He's just that good. And you saw the spark he was last year. So I think tomorrow's a big night for these 3 down linemen, or if they're in a nickel and a 4-2-5, the 4 down linemen. That's something that we exhausted last year, Nebraska's lack of pass rush. Jay, you spent time on it. Vogue, you've written about it. And I feel good that they got a guy like Carlos Davis. I feel good that they got a guy like D-Train, and I love Mick too. But D-Train, with his ability to be quick and penetrate that kind of curveball, collapse the interior. Mm-hmm. And then Freedom's been your sack leader on the line the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Can they raise their game and tee off? I think I got to see that tomorrow night to feel better for the whole year.
I mean,
and they
it's
can
nice.
Get better.
It's nice to have. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have. I mean, I'm just interested to see who they're going to, when they go to nickel, you know, are they going to bring more speed in the field? Are they bringing 4DNs on the field, kind of like Ohio State does? Or are they keeping more of a base look?
Just
you know,
go off on the road, just to get in the side here. How filthy is the third team defensive line of Ohio State?
It's pretty good.
The second team. Keep talking.
Right,
I'm
no,
sorry.
It's pretty damn good. No, there's a lot of things you just don't know. I mean, I'm just excited to see. think you're more than likely going to see four down linemen, third long. They bring that neck. You're going to see it. But I don't think they're in base, and you got your three down linemen, your two outside linebackers. I don't expect a whole lot of pass rush out of those outside linebackers yet, just because it's new.
Not even with Alex coming off the edge.
It's new. It's different. I'm telling you, it's different. It's not. It's just getting out of your stance in a two-point. It's going to be different. This is the first game.
Writing with your left hand and doing other things with your left hand.
Correct. Yes. Yes. It's going to be interesting to see. I think the way you're going to create pressure is when you're going to be in that nickel, dime type of situation. You got four guys and there's more familiarity of it because that's what these guys have been doing for two, three, 4 years now within that 4-3 defense.
Yeah. Whatever you see sacks wise tomorrow too could be a little bit of fool's gold just because they have those five new offensive linemen.
I guess it's time to pick on the weak kid at lunchtime.
Yeah,
get his money.
Take advantage. Yes.
Right? Come on, they're new, so
yeah.
Have at it.
No, take it for sure. You better take advantage. You better because it's if you want to. Try to do some things and try to see where you're at. I mean, this is a good game to see if you're playing against, a bunch of fresh faces. This is the time to do it.
Nebraska's corners, how will they perform? I spent time on this yesterday. I'm anxious to see it. I think when it is nickel, I think you see a guy like Lee move inside, and they'll put Boodle on the outside. That's what I think you'll see, and you'll see Lamar kind of owning his real estate or trying to. The corners have a strong game with or without pass rush.
I think so. Just because that's your
most they're gonna be tested. They're gonna go downtown.
There. For the most part, your experience is there. I know Jones is out and you're some guys that didn't play a whole lot, but I think having Clue back there on the back end, I think that communication factor there is gonna make a lot of people feel comfortable. I think he's the vital part of that secondary. Just that communication. He's played all spots. So I think him being back there communicating, well, this secondary will perform well.
Got about a minute.
Yeah, I expect there to be some bumps in the road there for them a little bit. Arkansas State can challenge a little bit. They're not the most explosive of offenses, but that one's gonna be. There's just gonna be. They're going to need some time to come along a little bit. I think they're both talented enough. I think I'm confident enough in Diaco as a teacher for them to be maybe even a little ahead of where they should be just based on peer experience. Next week will be the big test.
It will. Brandon Vogel, author, and with HailVarsity.com and Magazine Vogue. Thanks for jumping on down. We will wind down the first road show of many this 2017 football season here at Miller Time Pub with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
It's always nice to have your child walk by and roll his eyes at you. Welcome back to Miller Time Pub here in the historic Cornhusker Hotel Marriott. And this is your headquarters for all your home football Fridays here with Hail Varsity. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, big thanks to Derek Peterson and Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity for jumping on. High Life Hour is still rocking for you till 7, $2 off appetizers. The cheese curds are famous for a reason. You have chicken wings, ultimate nachos, Miller Time fries, pub pretzels, and then $2 off any draft beer, $1 off house wines and well drinks. You didn't get down to see us this Friday. Put it down on your calendar for Northern Illinois. Don't blame me for the 11 o'clock kick, but enjoy and imbibe and have a good time here at Miller Time Pub. And we invite you out with Hail Varsity. Bird, let's spend time on a defensive end and a kid that has been just dynamite since he got to Nebraska. And he's been coached up big time by Coach Perella. And his high school coaches have been masterful, too. And that's Carlos Davis. Khalil will make a jump also. But Carlos is a guy that I think can be a stud, can be a star, can be a sack master, can do a lot for Nebraska this season. And that freshman to sophomore jump It'll be year three in the program, redshirt sophomore season. I'm excited to watch him.
Yeah, he's gonna be fun. He's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be exciting to see him grow within this defense with Perella, with Diaco, and utilizing his talents, utilizing his skill set. Very strong, very athletic. It'd be interesting to see where they line him up sometimes. And the beauty of the 3-4 defense is about the matchups. Is you can move him around. He doesn't have to play a 5 technique. You can play a 4. You can play a 3. Hell, you can play a nose if you want. There's all sorts of fun things you can do within this defense to utilize your great talents, and he's a great talent. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see him play. I think this is a defensive end for himself, and the 3-4 defense is going to be great. I think he's going to be able to grow and really perform well and put him he's going to have an excellent opportunity to become a really, really good football player.
I'm anxious to see Gifford, too. I mean, I think – we talked to him on Monday, and Giff's a talent. He's focused. He's an athletic freak when you look at his arms and legs and able to keep weight on and transition and watch him in coverage. Same with Newby. Newby's been good in coverage. Both those guys, I know they're sharing time, but, man, they could be so dynamic for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's a beauty about the 3-4. I mean, it's using your athletes. It's just
they got a lot to choose from.
Right.
For God's sake.
Right. No, there's a lot of guys. More guys are. You're gonna get opportunities. That's the thing, and you get more speed, and it's just guys taking advantage of when they get that opportunity, because there's gonna be plenty of them. But just seeing guys when they get presented with that opportunity is take advantage and make a play and do something about it.
Take advantage of the High Life Hour on for another hour here, Miller Time Pub at Hale Varsity. We are down here every home football Friday. Come see us, enjoy and vibe, and enjoy the appetizers. Many thanks to those who came out tonight to kick off 2017. Jay Moore, big thanks to you. Thanks to Derek Peterson. Thanks to Brandon Vogel. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning, the weekend edition of Hail Varsity at 7 a.m. Take care and enjoy. It's almost here, kickoff 2017.